From TCI, this is Enter the Deuce, and I am your host, Patrick Brady. The diplomacy of a NICU physician could teach the UN a thing or two about diplomacy. Our doctor didn't spring the question of surgery on us, but began mentioning that we might have to discuss it at some point. A day or two later, he suggested we might want to consult with the surgeon, and so on. I began to push back because I didn't think we had an accurate grasp of just how much fluid was escaping from the Deuce's thoracic duct on a daily basis. NICU, Day 27, The Parents Ache. When I'm not at the hospital, I pine for the smell of Matthew. Newborns have a smell that is as fresh as fruit and as mammalian as a dog's. The smell is pleasant in direct proportion to how clean they are. One hot afternoon in a car seat and a baby can ripen like an old water bottle with protein smoothie. I've been sitting by his side for most of the last hour watching him sleep. Twice I've opened his isolette to get a whiff of him. Despite the faint smells put off by all that medical equipment, that aggressively sterile air that occupies an incubator, I can still discern that inimitable newborn scent, its rose petals and dreams, talc and mother's milk. I've still not held my son. Here we are, more than 3 weeks since his birth, and I didn't even hold him long enough to pass him from the obstetrician to the neonatologist. The best I've managed so far was one afternoon late last week when his nurse turned him on his side and I was able to rub his back. It was the largest patch of his bare skin I've been able to caress. Those lazy afternoons of shirtless naps with his older brother Philip when he was an infant seem less memory than fantasy, like I borrowed a memory from someone else who told the story so well I imagined it into my own life. I've been watching him sleep, studying him, trying to memorize him. Tonight, my wife and I will take a phone call from the head of pediatric surgery for Kaiser in Southern California. We are going to decide tonight whether we are willing to allow this doctor to perform surgery on our son. I'm studying my son because I want to know him. I'm studying my son because I'm afraid of the surgery. I'm studying my son because of that cliched, if something happens. I'm studying my son now so that if we lose him, I might better remember him. Our doctors have come to the conclusion that the Deuce needs surgery, that the best outcome for him is if they perform a ligation of his thoracic duct. The prospect of someone cutting open my 3-week-old son scares me like no Stephen King novel ever could. I don't feel like we have as full a set of data as would help any of us make this decision. Certainly, I don't know enough to feel good about the decision. And by good, I mean confident that this is absolutely what we should do. The amount of fluid draining from him has been both significant and fluctuating wildly. 3 days ago, he drained 59 milliliters. The next day, 67 milliliters. And then yesterday, 40 milliliters. The fluctuation dispenses hope like an empty vending machine. Our doctors, Matthew's doctors, are willing to allow us to wait to see if the fusion decreases. No one knows what to expect. The head of our neonatal unit says that prior to the Deuce, he'd seen maybe a dozen cases of chylothorax effusion. Yet even as they are willing to allow us to wait, they say their advice would be to operate now. Kaiser's best neonatal surgeon will be in Downey today, and he's not available very often, as in no one knows when he will next be at this hospital to do a non-emergency surgery. Which brings up an interesting point regarding the Deuce. His case, because he is stable, is considered non-emergency. Even though, were we to remove him from his isolette, he would die in a matter of hours. His situation isn't an emergency because he doesn't need the surgery immediately in order to survive. This surgeon may not return to this hospital for weeks, we're told. I peppered a different doctor with my questions regarding how we should evaluate Matthew's current state, the long gap in data, the potential harm caused by leaving all that fluid in him for so long, his chances with the surgery and without. I made the point, for us to grant consent, we need a clear picture of how he's doing, and I don't believe we have that. How do we get it? The doctor capitulated and said we should talk to the surgeon. He left, and when he returned a few minutes later, he said the surgeon would call us later that day, sometime after 5. The call never came. My friends in project management and startups like to talk about the critical path. For those unfamiliar with the term, it's the real world's answer to the crux move in climbing, the or category climb in a Tour de France stage. What these doctors don't seem to appreciate is that we, our consent, is their critical path. If they give us bad information, incomplete information, or ignore us, they don't get consent. While I can't say if they've been giving us the soft sell or not, we're able to count, and every doctor we've talked to at this point thinks surgery is a good idea. That detail brought me around to a point of willingness. Willingness to discuss the surgery. Weighing in on this is what my wife told me a nurse said of the surgeon in question. She said, Melinda thinks he's amazing. She said he has magic hands. I'm in a space where I know I would benefit from a ride. I don't feel like I can go hard, but I am aware that there's considerable steam in the boiler, that I need to blow some of it out of my system. Yet, I'm concerned that what I need to do is pull on cotton, not Lycra, and head to the hospital and see if I can't talk to this surgeon. Emotionally, I'm still not ready for the surgery, but they've put this fear of availability into me, such that I tremble at the thought that he might not be available again for weeks to come. And I worry. I worry, what if Matthew's condition begins to deteriorate a week from now? In our next episode, I sit down with the surgeon and discuss why he believes we have run out of options. Enter the Deuce is a production of the Cycling Independent. Our motto is, if you ride bikes, you're one of us. Find us on the web at cyclingindependent.com or on Facebook at The Cycling Independent. And if you are a cyclist, be sure to check out our other podcasts, The Paceline, which I co-host with John Lewis, and Revolting, hosted by John Lewis and Steve Knievel of All Hail the Black Market. Enter the Deuce is underwritten by the Shimano Corporation. If you like this independent production and want to show your support, you can stop by The Cycling Independent and subscribe or make a one-time donation. There is a link in our show notes.